electricity. Well, a waste of DC power. Do you call that? I don't know if you call that electricity. I suppose you do. DC power is portable electricity that's been packed into a battery. Usually converted from AC power. You convert it from AC to DC, and then it becomes some sort of portable electricity. Apparently, ordinary electricity from the mains isn't portable, despite the fact that it's become around 80 miles along a wire from some generation station. Apart from that, it's not portable. Once you take it out of the wire, it won't go anywhere. It won't move through the air. It's not like water. When water comes through the pipe and then comes out through the tap, it's still portable. You can put it into a glass and transport it somewhere. But apparently, if you do that with electricity, it doesn't work at all. You get electrocuted, and you end up having to go to hospital. And you damn well better be portable then if you have to go to hospital, because otherwise you're not going to get there. They're not going to be able to move you. You're going to be stuck to the... Well, you'll probably get... If you get electrocuted while you're sitting on something metal, you'll probably get stuck to the metal. You get burnt in, and they'll have to cut them around the metal. And then deal with whatever metal is stuck to you when you get to the hospital. They'll probably have to call the fire brigade, and the fire brigade will say, what are you calling me for? I don't see any fire. Is this another bloody cat stuck up a tree? And they'll say, no, there's no cat stuck up a tree. It's this guy seems to be stuck to this piece of metal. And you're the fire brigade, so we decided we don't know anything about unsticking people, but the fire brigade is expected to know about everything that isn't covered by any other emergency service. The fire brigade is expected to sort out. If you've lost your biro and it's got a nuclear device attached to it and you're worried that it might blow up, you call the fire brigade. The fire brigade are supposed to just figure everything out. They're like the scouts. They know how to tie knots and sort out fires, and well, I say sort out fires, I don't mean rearrange them in an appropriate configuration. They're not like the merchandisers of the fire world. They don't go around arranging fires in the shop window. Oh, that's not what I mean at all. I mean they put out fires, they extinguish them, and rescue people who've been trapped within the fire, and basically put out the fire and make the place safe in terms of fireness. Now, obviously the place isn't completely safe once it's burnt down. There's all bits of things that can fall on people. But that's for the building industry to sort out. No one calls them an emergency service, but in a way they are. They come along and they put up these hoardings and fences, and they put up signs saying, nobody come in here unless you're wearing a yellow hat. You're not safe unless you have a yellow hat. No hat, no job. And it better be yellow. There's no orange hats. We want yellow hats because it's high visibility. Unless we're building something that's yellow. If we're erecting a yellow building, we'll bring in a temporary rule saying all the construction workers have to wear a black hat, because that'll stand out against yellow. Black stands out against yellow. Yellow doesn't. If you're wearing a yellow hat against a yellow background, you might as well not be wearing anything at all, because you're going to be invisible. In fact, you might be more visible if you're wearing nothing at all, unless you've got yellow skin. If you've got black skin, you're probably best placed to work in a yellow construction site, because then you'll stand out. I suppose if you're not yellow, your shadow will still be black, so black on yellow is good. So people will see your shadow, but that's no good. If someone's coming along with a truck and they're about to ram it into you purely by accident, of course, and they see your shadow and they swerve to avoid your shadow, then there's a good chance that they'll run into you. They've seen your shadow, but they haven't seen you, so they'll either veer to the left or to the right. And if you better be standing on the right if they're veering to the left, because they tell you they're going to run into you. And your shadow will disappear as well. They'll get you and your shadow at the same time. It's like killing two birds with the same stone. In fact, if you kill two birds with the same stone, and there's each bird has a shadow, then you're effectively killing four birds. But I digress. Point 0.02% of you are thinking. 0.02% of you are thinking. I find this offensive. I'm a member of the local Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and you're talking about killing birds with stones. Well, excuse me. If you've got a more a less cruel way of killing a bird, go and post it in the forum at intoyourhead.com/stalk, or else post an online voicemail there, because I don't know any better way of killing a bird than throwing a stone at it, as long as you're a good shot. Obviously, if you're not able to hit it on the first go, then that's going to reduce the niceness factor. Now, I say niceness because I can't remember the correct name for the kindness to animals. There's another word. Humane, that's what I mean. Humane. Apparently you have to be humane to animals, which I'm all for. But if you're going to go around slowly killing a pigeon by, I don't know, tearing its feathers off slowly until it slowly succumbs to hypothermia, I think that's a lot worse than throwing a stone at it and knocking it unconscious. I think you'll find that in the proper approved meat factories, the normal way of killing a cow is by knocking it unconscious and then slowly killing it. But you knock it unconscious first. You throw a stone at it, or you use whatever the fancy tool that you use now instead of a stone in meat plants is. It's the exact same way with birds. And if you kill one of them if you kill two birds with one stone, then it goes without saying that you're an excellent shot. So you're a good choice of person to kill the bird. You're going to hit it very, very effectively and knock it unconscious, and it's going to be a pain-free death for the bird, assuming it doesn't slowly wake up before you finally kill it. But there you go. That's not for me to. I'm not the authority on bird killing in this country, so I'm not going to go around checking on all the listeners to see whether they're killing their birds in a humane fashion. Or within the laws. That's their responsibility. No more than I would go around checking everyone's taxes and go around and saying, you're listening to Into Your Head, let me just check that you've got a tax clearance certificate for the latest tax year, which of course would be 2007. The tax year ending April 2000. Oh no, they changed it now. The tax year ends in December now instead of April. So it's probably not time to pay your taxes for 2007 yet. So we're probably talking about 2006. So if you have a tax-free tax clearance certificate for the tax year ending December 2006, that's fine, but I'm not going to go around checking it. I can't go around to every frigging... for not least because most of you aren't within the Irish tax net. A lot of you are foreigners, you're abroad. Some of you are foreigners and you're in Ireland, in which case you'd be liable for tax here. But if you're abroad and you've never been... Now, my battery ran out there. I was saying something very important about tax. I don't know what it was, because I've no way of replaying it, because my machine just stopped recording. The battery ran out. I suppose that's a lesson for me. I was going on about DC power earlier. It turns out I didn't have enough DC power in my DC power pack. So my battery just decided that I have no... I've had enough of this, I'm going to stop recording, I'm just going to switch off. So it switched off, and then I was left with, I was left with a clue. The clue was that I couldn't hear anything in my headset. Usually I can hear me speaking, just like you're hearing now. You're hearing me speaking in your headset, except your headset doesn't necessarily have a microphone on it. Probably the next stage of podcasting will be that you'll have a microphone headset, and you'll be able to reply to everything I say. And nothing will get done then, because you keep hassling me and interrupting me like you're at some tacky stand-up comedy show. You'll be on hecklers all over the place going, excuse me, what you just said about cats is incorrect. And then I'll have to come up with witty, quick answers. I'll have to say something like, I'll just pull out my certificate of competency in the area of cat health and welfare. And that'll shut you up. I'll pick out a projector screen, and there'll probably be a thing where I can show a picture or a slide on the screen of your iPod while you're watching. So I'll put up my certificates. I'll be ready for this when it's invented. I'll have all my certificates ready, because I can back up everything I say on this show. I've got either qualifications or evidence of everything. Everything I say is backed up by scientific research. If I make a statement that sounds controversial, I haven't just made it from nowhere. I've done the research. I've read the latest scientific articles. I used to work in a library. I had access to all the medical journals and scientific journals in the world. All the ones that we purchased. Things like the International Veterinary Journal and the New Zealand Veterinary Journal, and the Australian Veterinary Journal, and various other veterinary journals. Well, we had other stuff as well. It wasn't just a veterinary library. Well, it was in a way, but it had legal stuff as well. We had all the Irish legislation and a lot of the British ones and a lot of the Northern Ireland ones, so I could look up the law on anything. Now, obviously, I don't work there anymore, so I couldn't do it right now. But I spent plenty of time memorising things. I've got a photographic memory. Well, I don't. That's a lie. I don't have a photographic memory. I do have a camera, though, so that's helped. Of course, when we were working in a library, we were strictly expected to be bound by the laws regarding copyright, and people who work in libraries aren't supposed to go around photocopying things, so I didn't. And I didn't go around taking photographs of everything, so I abided by the law in that way. But sure, not for the first few weeks, until I stumbled across an article in one of the legal books about photographing things. And I was just about to photograph it, and I saw what it said on the page. It said, you're not supposed to photograph things in books without the permission of the author or the copyright holder. So I stopped, and I got my camera, and I smashed it against the concrete floor. And then I took a photograph of the camera, just for prosperity. You can't do something as dramatic as that and then not have a record of it to show to everyone. So if you look at your iPod right now, you'll see that the album cover picture for this episode of Into Your Head is the picture of my smashed camera from when I used to work in a library. So there you go. You learn something new every day. Statements without backup. You learn something new every day. You don't know that I learn something new every day. That's what you're thinking. You're thinking, what's this Chancellor talking about? I watch daytime television all day, every day, and I don't learn anything. Then I go to sleep. Well, I drink all evening, and then I eventually become unconscious, and then I wake up and watch daytime television again, and I learn nothing. Well, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about the average listener. You're Well, while you may well be average or less, I'm talking about the median listener. That's a mathematical term. It's a bit like average, but not quite the same. If you line up all the listeners in a row in order of their intelligence, and you count them, let's say there's 200, the median listener will be the 101 in that queue, and that's the median listener. The average listener is if you get all the 200, and add up all their scores for wherever you're measuring, and then divide that by 200, multiply it by 12 or something. That's the average. So that's different. There's something. You've learned something new today. So there you go. So you'll forget it by this time tomorrow, and then you'll come back and listen to this again because you'll have forgotten that you listened to it, and then you'll learn it again. And you'll do the same again the next day, and you do it again and again and again until the next episode of Into Your Head comes out, and then something similar will happen with that. So you do learn something new every day. QED, quod ete demonstrandum. There's something else you're going to learn now. I'm going to tell you what quod ete demonstrandum means. When you prove something in mathematics, you write down the proof, and then you put QED at the end, and it's the Latin for meaning which was to be shown. So yeah, there you go, you've learned a mathematical term and a Latin term all in one go. So you've learned two new things today on top of the thing that I told you a minute ago, which you're going to forget, but you learn again tomorrow, as I say. So there you go, I've disproved your theory that I was wrong in saying that you learn something new every day. So the next time you come up to me and try to have a go with me, make sure you've armed yourself with information first, because I can chop you down with one foul swoop of logic. So there you go. Segment sitting up on my counter in my kitchen. I've got an empty glass. It's an empty Guinness glass. There wasn't Guinness in it. There was some sort of Red Bull type drink. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking Red Bull. If it's going to say Red Bull, you might as well say Hoover, because it's just a brand name. It's not the name of the actual substance. Well, I'm well aware of that, and I wasn't implying that it was like a Hoover. I was like a Hoover, and I sucked up the Red Bull type drink into my mouth, and now the glass is empty. It's not a vacuum, though. It's not sealed. It's not a sealed glass. If it was, I'd have no way of drinking out of it. Not that that's relevant now that it's empty, but actually, it is relevant. It will be relevant in a moment, because I'm going to refill it. In fact, right now, I'm going to get some more Red Bull type stuff out of my fridge and refill this damn glass with Red Bull. I'm going to have a pint of Red Bull type substance. It's not Red Bull. Red Bull is the vacuum cleaner of the drinks world, because there are imitations, and it's not the only Red Bull isn't the only Red Bull type drink, but it is the only one that's legally entitled to call itself Red Bull. I assume they've trademarked it. I haven't checked. Maybe they haven't trademarked Red Bull, and I could set up a little stall outside my gate right now and sell this stuff and call it Red Bull and be perfectly within my legal rights. Maybe I should look that up. Although I'm sure if they haven't trademarked Red Bull, they're not going to go and publish that fact on the internet. They're not going to go up and say, we haven't bothered to trademark this. Go ahead and use it however you see fit. The reason they're not going to do that is because if they haven't trademarked it, it's an oversight. And if it's an oversight, they're obviously not aware of it, so they're not going to publish something that they're not aware of. That would be ridiculous. That's the only reason. So there you go. Red Bull. Let's drink some of this. Well, I'll drink it. You can just listen. Forced belch and a forced drinking sound. Well, that's intentional. This is an audio program, and I want you to hear the stuff. I don't know why I want you to hear me belching and hear me drinking. I suppose it fills up the silence. All of us in here in humanity, well, most of us, we're afraid of silence. See, that was quite disconcerting for you. It'll be disconcerting to me when I listen back to it. It wasn't right now, because I planned it. I planned it in a couple of seconds before I did it. It wasn't completely premeditated in that I didn't have a little production meeting earlier with myself and plan to have a silence. But I did plan it in a couple of seconds before I did it. I thought, I think I'm going to do a silence now, just to demonstrate how scary silences can be. Now, I don't know if it was as scary for you as it was for me, or if it was scary in the same way for each of the listeners. Some of you during that silence might have just heard silence. Others of you may have heard screaming from the room above you. You might have heard a woman screaming, and the sound of an axe swooshing. Although you probably wouldn't hear that unless you're a dog. You'd have to have very sensitive hearing to hear an axe swishing. But you'd certainly hear an axe crashing against someone's skull. You wouldn't hear it swishing, but you'd hear it crashing against someone's skull. It would probably be less frightening if you could hear it swishing first, because then at least your brain would have a little time to process it, and you'd hear, there's an axe swishing. There's probably going to be a crashing sound now, so when you hear it crashing, it wouldn't be as unexpected, or it'd be slightly less sudden, because the swishing sound would be a nice little gentle warning, a nice little gentle sound of an axe swishing through the air and about to crash into something. Because if you're swinging an axe through the air, the chances are it's going to crash into something, be it the ground, or someone's skull, or a tree, or maybe an axe stand that you're putting it into. I don't know if there's such a thing as an axe stand. There probably is, because bicycles have stands, and umbrellas have stands sometimes. So an axe is bound to have a stand. Well, for people who are into axes, not everyone has an axe stand. Some people just have an axe shelf, or they have an axe hook, which I suppose in a way is an axe stand. I mean, if you put a if you have one of those dead deer heads, if you're a hunter and you've got one of those dead deer heads that you keep as a trophy, and you put that up on a hook, you could call that hook a stand. No one's going to know whether it's a hook or a stand. It could be just a little crappy little nail, but they're not going to see it. You could just convince them that it's on a stand. Or a sit, I don't know, I suppose, anyway. It doesn't really matter. A stand is supposed to be something that's in the background anyway. It's not something that you're supposed to notice. It's like the background music on a movie. If you're watching a film and it gets to a scary bit and the music reaches a crescendo, that's supposed to be in the back of your mind. You're not really supposed to be listening to the music. Although I do. I like to listen to the music in movies. QED. Segments of this show as I during the editing process here, and I'm rearranging the timeline. In the following segments, you'll hear me saying that this is the beginning of the show. In fact, you'll hear me saying that this will be an extra segment I'm putting in at the beginning of the show. But in fact, it's not. I've decided to put it at the end. So in any time points during the next segment where you hear me saying the word beginning, just replace it with the word end in your mind. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, that's not going to work. The word beginning has three syllables. If you replace that with the word end, the word end isn't long enough to cover up the word beginning, so you're probably going to hear end-inging. We'll just say the word end three times in your mind every time you hear me saying the word beginning. So if you hear me saying beginning, just utter the word end three times in your mind. Well, we practice it now. Here, let's do a little rehearsal. I'm about to say beginning, so as I say beginning, you say end in your mind over us and ignore me saying the word beginning. So here we go. I'll count you down to us. 3, 2, 1, beginning. Now, if that worked properly, you won't have heard me saying the word beginning at all. You'll have counteracted it in your mind, and the little voice in your head will have said end. Ideally, you'll have said it in an Irish accent, so it's more convincing. Now, you're probably going to... One of your personalities is going to have to know about this and trick the rest of your personalities into thinking that it's me saying end. Rather than beginning. So one of your personalities is going to have this show spoiled for him or her, but that's okay. It's someone has to do it. When you've got multiple personalities, one of you has to take charge, but at least the rest of them will enjoy the show. The next time when you go out drinking, one of the other personalities can be the nominated driver, the designated driver, and the guy who did the end thing this time, he can get to relax and have a drink. The other personality can be the designated driver, and then if you've got more than two personalities, the other guys can find some other way of making up to you as well. So there you go. It's all about compromise. So there you go. Anyway, here's the segment that was going to be at the beginning of the show, but now it's at the end. And thank you for listening. Tremendously exciting moment. I've just finished recording show 76 of Into Your Head. That's an absolutely fantastic show, but it's only 20 minutes long at the moment, so I have to add this little bit in at the beginning to make it longer. I don't know what I'm going to do here. It's not like I'll have something ready to perform for you, like a cat song. I suppose I know what we'll do. I've been making some videos for YouTube lately to promote my podcast. You can see them at intoyourhead.com/videos. I'll play you one of my videos now. Hang on a minute. Let's see what I've got here. No, that's not one for public viewing. Here we go. I'll play you this one. Actually, no, I won't play that one because you heard that on the previous episode. It's a video of me recording part of the previous episode of Into Your Head. So it would be ridiculous for me to play that again on show 76, so I won't do that. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll play a game. I've got games on this phone too. We play some Tetris Mania. That's what we do. We play Tetris Mania, copyright 1985 to 2005. Let's see. We'll play Mania. Resume game. It's going to take a moment. There we go. Now we've got an S-shaped green set of blocks falling at the moment. So I'm going to place it in a little space just over to the right. Now I missed it there, so it landed on top of some other blocks. I didn't want that to happen, but there's nothing we can do about it. Now we've got a square block. There isn't really a slot for it, so I'll just bring it down on the left. It's on top of a narrow block, so that's not ideal, but what are you going to do? We've got another S-shaped one, except it's like a backward S. It's more like a 2 than an S. I was hoping to rotate that, but I pressed the wrong button, so I just brought it down. This isn't going terribly well, this game of Tetris. I can't remember. Oh, there we go. Now I remember how to rotate things. That's an R-shaped one. I've just dropped that there. I've accidentally dropped a straight one by pressing the wrong button again. Let's see. This is the rotate button. There we go. Now, this is another... it's a 7-shaped one. That didn't go very well. I appear to have lost the game. It's an absolute disaster. Let's see what it says on the screen. Cascade challenge. New record. Score 40. Cascades 1. Level 1. Press 5. Okay, we'll press 5 and see what happens. Oh, we're back at the main menu. You have the option of starting a new game or quitting. So I think I'll quit. I'm not a quitter, but I don't want to play any more of this at the moment. Let's see what else is on my telephone to entertain us. We've got the internet, but I have to pay to use that, so I'm not going to use that just for you. Especially when I'm in the house. I could access the internet on my computer if I really wanted to. Let's see, we've got some sort of music. Oh, we've got a music mate. I think that's from... Oh, yeah. We've got a music generator. Let's try this out. Let's select guitar mode. Basically, press buttons and it synthesizes a guitar thing. There you go. You can move the chords around. I'm playing a virtual guitar here. It's absolutely fantastic on my telephone. I wonder, could I make a cat song out of that? Let's see. My cat is fat. Which one is that? Well, it's both of them, so I can't play this fast enough to play both of them as a tune, so we'll just have an instrumental here now. Actually, if I play the same note several times, then I can do it fast enough. Well, both of them. There you go. It's not the greatest cat song ever, but I've never played a virtual guitar on my telephone and made a cat song up at the same time before. So I think I'm doing reasonably well considering all those factors. Well, both of those factors. Let's see what else we have. We have a metronome. I don't know what that is. We've got a pitch thing, some sort of a keyboardy thing. This is effectively a cat song without words, because there's a picture of a virtual keyboard on the screen. I'm pressing the virtual keys, and I'm imagining that a cat is walking along the keyboard and pressing its paws against the keys. So here we go. First ever piano cat song. is the cat getting stuck on the G something. There's a G and then a cross symbol stuff, so I presume it's the key of G. I don't know anything about music. There's the other G, and there's the A. And this is the BB, apparently. Whatever that means, the BB. It's a stupid name for a... And why is this keyboard only got 7 keys? Absolutely ridiculous. Makes absolutely no... Oh, no, it has more keys. It's just it only shows 7 keys at a time. Well, that's ridiculous. If you're looking at a keyboard, unless you're looking at it through a toilet roll tube, you're going to see all of the keys on it. Or unless you have very poor peripheral vision. Which, as it happens, I do. I have quite poor peripheral vision. But I think I would be able to see all of the keys on the keyboard. So there we go. Anyway, that's enough of that. I think we've filled up enough time there. We've added an extra 7 minutes on at the beginning of the show. And now we can get on with what I recorded earlier. So here's me earlier. Well, it's me now. I've brought it into the present. I recorded it earlier, but now I'm bringing it into the present and I'm putting it here. In fact, I'm putting it in the future. You're going to hear it in a couple of seconds' time. So that's in the future from here. So basically, the past me has leapt over the present me and gone into the future. And you're about to hear it. But you'll be in the future in a couple of seconds. So don't worry about that. I've got it all under control. Everything is coming together. Show 76 of Into Your Head is ready to go. In fact, you've just heard almost 8 minutes of it. But here's stuff. This is just me talking shite. Not all shite. Up until a few seconds ago, it was all perfectly reasonably. I was talking about stuff on virtual instruments on my telephone. But this bit here is basically me running out of steam. Not knowing where to end this segment. I should probably end it by saying this is the end of the segment, but that wouldn't be very... That would sound a bit contrived. This is the end of this segment.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guest book
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.